goodness. Wow. Chapter 6, Governing Principles for Raising Breakthrough Believers, Part 3. In Chapter 6, we're going to take a further look at governing principles for raising breakthrough believers. The principles we covered, we'll cover in this chapter are, number one, honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. Number two, expressing Christ's compassion to reach the unsaved and to meet the needs of the community. So we'll start tonight's lesson by first building a foundation of what a covenant is and its significance as it relates to the kingdom of God and breakthrough believers. What is a covenant? A covenant is a written agreement or promise, usually under seal, between two or more parties, especially for the performance of an agenda, which can only be broken or nullified by death. You know, something that the apostle was saying tonight about the Western Church. This is another aspect that the Western Church really don't. There's some that have a revelation about it, but many don't. I think about how, the church, when as it relates to covenant, most of the church really don't understand that a covenant is the most powerful connection that you can have, a covenant. Now, when you look at, y'all excuse me, I'm still kind of messed up here. Like y'all. like I've seen it, you know, like mafia movies. I've seen it in street gangs. I've seen that the connection. I've seen the brotherly love and the, one. If you mess with one, you got to mess with the whole group. You know. So I've seen that in, but I have not seen in the church the way I think it's supposed to be. Now, I want to look at this covenant thing for a minute here. Now, the purpose that they would cut covenants, and the reason I want to kind of show you exactly what a covenant is about, so we can have a better understanding when it comes down to relationships and how we're supposed to function. When the apostle was showing us about when David wanted that water and how those guys just broke through, you know, the troops and things and went and got it. See, that's covenant there. That's covenant. That's covenant. And see, David really understood covenant. He understood covenant because of him and Jonathan's relationship. He really understood covenant. So for him to understand covenant, he had to have taught it to the men that were following him. And so these men really had a understanding of covenant. If the leader, if this is what he wants, if it costs me my life, then I'm willing to lay it down. Yes, now you're not going to find that much in the church. Yes, you know, you'll find people who will say it. Yes, but really finding people who will lay down their life for the mission or for the cause, you're not going to find a whole lot of it. And so in order for us to really function, this, the apostolic, it's just a whole nother realm. You know, things that we've seen in church and we grew up in. I mean, we're hearing stuff now we've never heard before. And that's what the apostolic does. It brings forth revelation, things that's been held back for time. Men have not been able to unravel, and they're able to unravel it, bring forth the revelation or the mystery, give us principles, and carry us to a whole nother realm of living. You understand? So now, whenever someone cut a covenant, I want to just kind of give you so you can kind of see how serious this thing was. The Eastern culture, they had it down. Now, the purpose of the covenant agreements was one was to bind two or more families together. Then the second thing is to unite in both strengths and weaknesses. All right. Whenever there was a covenant cut, whenever there was a covenant. Now, first of all, it was between, like two families. Let's just say that there was a tribe that was warriors, and there was a tribe that were farmers. Okay, the farmers, they know how to grow food, but they don't know how to fight. So they team up with a family that's warriors so that the warriors can run off anybody who's trying to steal their crop.
Right.
Okay, so the warriors can fight, but they can't grow nothing.
Come on now.
So they come into covenant. So the warriors, if they don't eat nothing, they're not going to have strength to war. So they come into covenant. So now the warriors, they're going to be able to fight for the farmers. The farmers going to be able to feed the warriors. You understand? So one strength becomes the other strength. You with me? Now, a covenant was always based off of strengths and weaknesses. A lot of times people think that, everybody's supposed to be the same in the covenant. No. It's based on differences.
Yes, sir.
You with me? All right. So it'll bind two families together and unite both strengths and weaknesses. Then that was covenant practices. What they would do was they would come together with some terms of agreement. First of all, they have to have these terms of agreement. So the farmers, they would get together and they would talk about. Now, what they would do is, they would get together and they would talk among themselves and see what kind of terms they could come up with. And then while the other family is talking, and then they'll come together and they'll see what all they can agree upon. You with me? And then they would have promises. If you keep the covenant, this is the promises that you can receive. But then on the other hand, if you break it, these are the curses. In Deuteronomy 28, that's what that is. When they start talking about, all these things have come upon you if you obey the Lord, and then all these things will come upon you if you disobey, and these curses will come upon you. That's what that was. So they would have these kind of ceremonies, and then they would choose a representative from those tribes. So they would, whoever was the warrior was the main warrior of that family, he would be the representative. And that farmer, whoever could, that person that could raise the best crop, they would be the representative for the farmers. You with me?
Okay.
So they would get two, really it would be the face of that tribe, that person who was stood out in that tribe, that would be the person that they would choose to be the representative for that tribe. All right. Then they would choose a site where they would have this covenant broken at. Then they would have the covenant rites. They would have animals would be slaughtered. So what they did, remember when Abraham, I think in the 15th chapter of Genesis, when God told him, said, Abraham, who is it in your house? He said, Eliezer of Damascus. And then he said, to him that that's not going to be the heir. That was what I'm going to do for you, because I made a promise to you, Abraham. I'm going to make sure that you're going to have an heir that's going to come from you, that's going to come from your body, your bowels.
Right, right.
And so watch this. So he's telling Abraham about all this. And then Abraham makes this statement. Abraham say, how shall I know that I'm going to inherit this, what you're telling me? And then the next thing that God goes to telling Abraham is about, told him for to get him a calf. And see, watch this. while that may not mean, that would not mean anything to us, but for Abraham, and because he was from that Eastern culture, right away that talked about covenant.
Right, right.
That means that God is serious about this. If he's talking, blood now, he's serious. So he brings up about the calf and the birds and that sort of thing and stuff. And so he told him, he said, and I think I need to go to it right quick. Go to Genesis, the 15th chapter, because I want you to get, you can't really walk with nobody unless you understand covenant. Because you're going to be a traitor, you're going to be a backstabber, God cannot get his mission accomplished in the earth if people don't really understand covenant. They don't understand the significance of covenant. They don't understand how, you know, a covenant really can't be broken unless it's by death. Whenever God made a covenant with Abraham, God could not go back on it. Now, Abraham, now watch this. Remember, God told Abraham he was going to have a child, right?
Right.
All right. So now, Abraham was 75 when God first told him that. God had to, first of all, he had to get Abraham talking right. Because Abraham was saying, you know, that he was childless and that kind of thing and stuff. And then Abram himself meant, that, you know, that he was childless. So God had to change his name. So the Abraham... Abraham means father of many nations. So God had to change his language so that he can get to him what he had promised him. Mm-hmm. So watch this in Genesis chapter 15. And so let's see where I won't go past. Okay. All right. Verse 7 says, and he said unto him, it's after God had told him what he's going to do. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur and of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said unto the Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? Then look what God starts saying. He said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtledove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid them each piece against them. So what he did was they cut that animal straight down the middle. You understand what I'm saying? And so now God is getting ready to make a covenant with Abraham, because when God says something, God will not go back on it.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. So the same way it is, it's just like in a marriage. The same thing. See, there are far too many divorces, but it's because people don't really understand covenant. Right. If they really understood covenant, they wouldn't just be getting divorced.
Right.
You understand? Just because they can't get along. Oh, we can't, you know, we just not compatible. Hey, amen. That's what a covenant is based on, strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But people say, well, we just can't get. Well, the thing about it, let me tell you something. I had, When my wife and I, we first got married, you know, my wife, she real organized. She wanted everything just right, you know. And I like to have things disorganized. And so, you know, every time I go to get a glass of water, and, you know, I came from a family, you know, it was a whole bunch of us, you know, like 13, you know what I'm saying? And so, so we used to have those little mayonnaise jars, you know, after you don't use the mayonnaise, you know, you clean them out. And so everybody claimed their little glass, you know. And so after we drank our water, you know, we just set our glass on the cabinet, put it in a certain place. This is what my glass is, you understand? So when I married and I started doing that, so she see me do that and she go get it and she wash it. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm washing it. What you mean? I said, I'm going to drink out of it later. Why would you move it? She said, because that's germs. Well, I've been having germs for years. Because this is the way I've been doing it. And so, you know, it had just got to the point that it just irritated me for her to be picking up stuff every time I put it down. And so one day God spoke to me. God said, she said, Jeff, look, he said, she has strengths where you have weaknesses, and you have strength where she has weaknesses. He said this to me. He said, I want you to learn from her strengths.
Amen.
He said, so instead of getting frustrated with her, learn how to pick up behind yourself. And you won't have to be getting irritated with her when she do it, when she's picking up. So I had to learn that. I had to embrace those strengths that she had and not let those things irritate me. You understand? Because watch this. We came from two different upbringings.
Right.
You see, so I had to come to a point to where I understood that, and God had to give me understanding. I had to understand that, you know, the way she came up is just different from where I came up. So, you know, I had to just learn how to adapt to those strengths and just start begin to learn from them instead of getting all bent out of shape about it. So now, when we first got married, I didn't think we were going to make it 5 years, but we've been together now for 37. So, you know, there has to, it had to be some adjustments made. Not only that, but see, I always had this understanding of covenant because I came off the street. You know, I ran with gangs. And so in a gang, man, you got to have your brother back. You can't be messing around, you know, they get in trouble and stuff. Then you shoot off, and you run and hide. No. If it go down, it's going down. We all going down, you know. So I had that concept of covenant. And so whenever something, you know, things got bad, I had to say, and my wife had to stop me from saying this, though. I said, we're not going to start this sleeping in other rooms. We're not going to be making no pallets on the sofa. I said, we're going to sleep in the same room, in the same bed. You on one end, I'm on the other end, the devil in the middle, but we're going to be in the same bed. she said, no, you got to change. You got to change that. Now, you've been saying that too long. We know the devil's not going to be in the middle. Praise the Lord. But we're not getting upset and we've gone in other rooms. Because
right, right.
The Lord told me that. The Lord said to me, I remember one time we first got married and I went in another room. And the Lord said, this is how separation starts. Separation leads to divorce. When you start going into different rooms and sleeping and staying and that kind of thing and stuff. So, but when you really understand covenant, you're able to see, covenant got to do with love.
Right.
It's got to do with unconditional love. You with me? So, Unless you understand this, but watch this, what happened with Abraham. So it says he divided, but the birds he didn't divide, but he divided them in the midst and laid them apart from each other. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell up on Abram, and lo, a horror and a great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. You know, they're talking about, you know, when they went over in Egypt, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And look what it says here. In the 17th verse, it said, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between the pieces. Here come God. Mm-hmm. See, God is going to make this covenant with Abraham himself.
Mm-hmm.
God said, I'm not going to trust nobody else to make this covenant. I'm going to make this covenant between me and Abram.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You with me? So watch this. God will never go back on his word. And when we understand that we're in covenant with God, you will understand that God can't go back on the promise he gave you. There's something that just came out of the apostle's mouth that, guess what? It was out of the mouth of God, and I got a hold of. You understand what I'm saying? And guess what? It is going to come to pass. Are y'all with me? Because first of all, I'm in covenant with him. We in covenant with God. God sent us a word. It got to come to pass. It got to come to pass. You understand what I'm saying? And there's no doubt about it. Doubt about it. There is no. You understand? So you have to know that in order to be able to have expectation.
Yes, sir.
That what God said, he's going to bring it to pass.
Yes,
because God cannot lie.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, oh my. Yeah. So God can't lie. So what's been spoken over you?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Things changing.
Yes, sir.
Because it came out of the mouth of the apostle.
Yes.
See, oh God, help me. See, when you're really following somebody, you have to, when you understand covenant, when you understand that we're in covenant together, and because of that, because we understand covenant, then God's obligated to speak through that person. See, because sometimes we're looking for a word from the Lord, and we're looking for God to give us a word. When God said, no, I'm going to give a word through this leader to you and see, can you receive this?
Right.
It's just like it came out the mouth of God, because
it did.
Right. Yes, it did. Hallelujah. And see, watch this. And many times the church world can't receive this kind of thing because they saying that, you know, well, I'm going to hear from God. Me, I'm not going to hear from no man. Well, go ahead on with your bad self. Go ahead on with your bad self. You got, man, let me tell you something. In the body of Christ, they got so many egos. They got so many people who not going to submit to anybody. They got so many people. They got leaders. Amen. That go from one wife to the next wife to the next wife to the next. And just, I mean, the Bible says that our marriage is supposed to be a reflection of Christ in the church. So Christ in the church is not getting no divorce. How in the world these preachers getting all these divorces? Because they don't understand covenant. You don't just walk. You don't, when you're in covenant, you don't just walk out of. See, the only way, I guarantee you, if we were in the we were over in the eastern hemisphere, if we were there and we were making vows that we were going to stay together to death do us part. I guarantee you, you wouldn't be trying to get loose. You understand what I'm saying? Look. You have a little squabble with your spouse, you would say, baby, let's cool off for a few minutes, and then we're gonna come back together. Mm-hmm. I got you. We're gonna come back together and we're gonna straighten this out.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be talking about, okay, all right. I will talk to my lawyer tomorrow and no, you wouldn't be talking like that.
Right.
Because you know that your butt will not live till the morning.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So he said, God, walk between the tape, walk between the pieces. And then it said, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land, from the river Euphrates unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All right. Okay. All right. So. Now, so what they would do, they would slaughter the animals. Then what they would do, they would change coats. You know, the farm and the water, they would change coats. So then whenever an enemy saw the farmer wearing the warrior's coat, it was just like the warrior had it on. You understand what I'm saying? So they changed, which meant that they were changing authority. They were changing. So now the farmer, the people recognized the warrior, if he was in a farmer's garment, it's because, you know, now they're in covenant. You understand what I'm saying? Then they would have then they would change weapons. And the reason they would change weapons, that means that your enemy has become my enemy.
Right, right.
And my enemy has become your enemy. So anybody messing with us, they're going down.
Yes, sir.
And then they would have the walk of blood. They would walk between those animals, what we saw God do. And then that was a term stated, the blessings and then the curse. And then they would, what they would do, they would cut their wrists. And then they would put like some, they would rub it together, and it was called one blood, where they would come together. And then they would put like a gunpowder or something in it where it would leave a scar, which would be a reminder that I'm in covenant. See, we wear a ring now, but back then they had the scar. It showed that they was in covenant. And so we'll talk about a little bit more about covenant next week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Bless you.